So we're going to continue our series called Hearing God. This is week 4. I don't know about you, but I have just learned so much so far just about what it means to hear from God. And last week, I think, was a game changer in our church. We talked about the need for the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the access that we have to the mind of Christ. And then we talked about, you know, we need to be confident that we have access to the Holy Spirit as followers of Christ. And so we did a call. If you're not confident and you want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life through surrender, come up. And all of you came to the front, literally all of you. So that was absolutely incredible. And we just want to reiterate this week that all of this, if you want to hear from God, the number one thing you need to have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? So if that should be a given, right? From here on out, it should be, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you're not confident that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're going to give you opportunity to enter into that every Sunday. But also, we'd love to talk with you, Cody and I, about that. So So moving forward, we're just going to assume that you understand that when you're coming in here, that a relationship with Jesus is how we get access to the Holy Spirit, which is how we access the spirit, the mind and wisdom and words of God as well.
Yeah. So this week we're going to be reading out of Proverbs 2. If you want to turn there, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 15. So we've kind of, in the studying that we've done, a lot of times when Scripture talks about wisdom from God, it's really His words to us, you know, because everything God says to us is, of course, wisdom. And it's not just because He's wise, but God is the definition of wisdom, just like He's the definition of love and He's the definition of truth. So everything He does is truth. It is wisdom. It is love. That's how we can hold everything else in our lives to say, like, what is love? My understanding of love, does it mesh with who I know God to be? Or what is my understanding of wisdom? Does it mesh with who I know God to be as wisdom, right? Hope that tracks a little bit, but Proverbs is a perfect place. It's kind of a book of wisdom, so it's really full of God's speaking to us on how to apply His truths to our lives. So again, Proverbs 2 is where we're going to start, verses 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perversiveness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So, from this passage, we want to bring out this truth that we believe that what God speaks to us brings about victory in our lives. And this is what this passage is really telling us here, is that when we hear His words, that should result in victory over everything that we face in our lives.
Yeah, I love it. And looking through this chapter, I was just noticing all the ways that the words of God, what He speaks to us, bring victory to our lives. And there's so many ways. And just to break it down a few, prosperous, right? When we do what God says, when He speaks into our lives, we have success, it says. It says that word, and you know, I get nervous about pointing that out because I don't want it to be the prosperity gospel, right? You do everything God says, you'll never have a problem. We know that's not true. We live in a broken world. But absolutely, I've experienced in my own life, and I know you have experienced in yours, that when God speaks into your life and you engage what He speaks to you, you have success. You are prosperous in your life. Protection from sin. We need this so bad, right? Like protection from sin. It says it will protect you. God's words, when it speaks to you, you'll have victory. You'll know what to do and what not to do. You'll have that wisdom. Knowing direction, right? Who needs some direction in their life? I need to know what, well, Jason, just me in the back, only Jason. I need to know the direction that God wants me to go. And when God speaks into our lives, we have direction as well. Salvation. Right? When God speaks into our lives, we're saved. Joy in your soul. It says that your soul, I forget how it says it, but something about like your soul is satisfied or, gosh, I want to find it because it says it so well. Anyway, let me just take a pause here and I'll give you some time to read that. On your own. Pleasant to your soul.
Your soul. There you go.
Right? Like when God speaks, there's this pleasant thing. Your soul is joyful when God speaks. Does anyone need any of that this morning? Protection, prosperity in your life, success, knowing direction, joy, salvation, right? When I think about relationship with God and what that provides me, these are the things that come up. I want that in my life, right? I think every single one of us are saying, yes, I want that. I want to hear what God says, and I want to respond to that.
Right. So we want to ask the question, if what God speaks brings about victory in our lives, then how can we engage that wisdom in our lives? So we think what this passage is saying, the first thing anyway, is that we have to accept and store up God's words. Mm-hmm. So it's not just hearing. We want to make that clear, and I think this passage is saying that as well, right? So like we've talked about, it's not just going to church and like listening or putting your audio Bible in the car or whatever. It's not just merely trying to have it as part of your life. You have to accept the words that are from Scripture, and you have to store that up if you want to see any results in your life, right? You can't half-heartedly be a Christian. You can't half-heartedly listen to what God has for you and the wisdom that he has for us. It's just not going to make any difference in your life. You're then, as the Bible talks about, you're lukewarm. Mm-hmm. If you're that person, if you're just kind of going through the motions and you're always in the same spot in your life and nothing ever changes, even though you're being given this amazing godly wisdom through your study and through maybe friendships and through mm-hmm. church, hopefully. Like, but if that's not being applied in your life and you're not storing that and accepting it as, okay, this is who I need to be now. This is what the change that I need in my life. It's going to do absolutely nothing for you.
Right?
God can't force it on us. Just like we talked about last week, God doesn't hijack our thoughts. He doesn't come in once we accept Christ in our lives. He doesn't come in and then say, okay, you don't get to do anything anymore. Right? It's still on us to choose to let him operate the way he wants to for our good. Right? For our good in our lives.
When I think of acceptance, when I think of accepting God's word into my life, I think of understanding and living as if God's truth is the only truth. Okay, there's a lot of ideas of truth out there in our world. There's a lot of truth. And then now we're in this new thing where truth is just sort of relative, right? Like whatever you think, well, works for you, that's fine. And whatever you think that works for you, and everyone should be able to do and think whatever they think is true. There's not really any solid definition. It's kind of like whatever works for your life is whatever works for your life. And whatever works for mine, you know, whatever. But we know that that's not true. We know that, right? When we come into contact with God's words and God's wisdom, it's like a profound understanding of the way things should be, and it feeds our soul, right? When God has spoken things to me, they're often profound, and it's like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. That no matter what truth is going around about whatever situation, what God speaks to me always is right, always. And so when you accept God's word, you're living your life as if God's truth is the only truth. And then I think of this storing up, right? It says, if you accept my words and store up my commands, I sort of think of a vault, right? Like I'm just like gathering all that God has for me and I'm locking it in here, right? Like, what have you said to me? I'm going to lock that up. And you know, more and more and more, like kind of like a savings account of God's wisdom that he's spoken to me. And then what's great about that is that when we do that, guys, it builds momentum in our walk with God. Our faith begins to grow. And I've thought this so often, you know, we're people of spiritual amnesia. So sometimes God will tell us something in this moment on Sunday morning. You'll raise your hand. You're like, yes, I want to get rid of my bitterness. I'm done with it. Or yes, I want to encounter Jesus and I'm going to go out. I'm going to share the gospel, right? We make a lot of vows in here on Sunday mornings. And then Monday comes around and it's like, shoop, like, whatever, like, I don't even know what happened yesterday. Cannot even tell you, right? Like, we're people of spiritual amnesia. And I see in God's word, he said, don't do that. Don't do that. Store up what I've said to you. Let your God moments, your moments with me, build momentum in your life. Because then what happens, right, is that, you know, in my own personal life, God has told me and shown me that he is a provider, right, a financial provider. Right? It all comes from him. And then, you know, 3 months down the road, like, that'll be all great, right? And then, you know, I get a little bit down the road and I'm in like another kind of, you know, in my terms, financially stressful situation. And then I can either access what I've stored up, right? What he's already done in my life, what he's already said to me. But I don't need to have like, Lord, help me, tell me something new. He's like, I already told you 3 months ago, I'm a provider and I showed you. So access that, right? If you find yourself lost, often, like, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, or something happens to you and you're sort of derailed in your faith so easily, I wonder if you're storing. I wonder if you're actually taking into account the things that God has already told you. So, you know, we can access those things in dry times, right? There's just certain seasons of life that are harder than others. And if we're storing up, I sort of think of, you know, if I store up in a savings account and then I lose my job, it's no big deal, right? Because I got the savings account of what God has already said in my life. And so, so do you truly accept God's words? Do you live your life as if God's truth is the only truth? Or do you kind of think like, well, I take what I like, and then I also kind of do whatever I want to do. You know, that's not the definition of accepting God's words. And like going back to the beginning, we want all that victory, right? All that direction and prosperity and success and joy and fulfillment and identity and all these things that come with a relationship with God. If we're going to take hold of that, we have to accept God's words. And then we also need to be people that store up.
Yeah.
You'll know if you store up God's words by how often you access it, right? By how often you just, I mean, there's certain times in my life where I have to be like, God, I need you to speak to me right now. Like, I need it, right? But there's certain times where I'm like, I'm not going there. I'm not going to be afraid. You've already told me. You've already shown me, and it's stored up in here, and so we're going forward, right? That's the way that we should kind of build maturity and relationship with God.
Right. Well, and I love that because truth and wisdom aren't relative. God's truth, right? It's so like whatever truth he gives you for even you in this season is going to be true 10 years from now for you. But also that truth is universal. So like that's another way you can test if somebody else is telling you some wisdom that's contrary to what you've heard from God, you know, that's not true. That's not God's wisdom. That's the world's wisdom, which seems good sometimes, right? It seems to tell us like, oh, things are going to be okay. Or, you know what, that seems crazy for you guys to move. It seems crazy that you guys would join that church. It seems crazy to me that you would get involved or apply for that job or to send your kids to that school or whatever. You know, it seems crazy to me. You shouldn't be doing that. I don't know. That's not really, it doesn't make sense to me. But we've already established that the wisdom of this world is foolishness, mm-hmm. right? And because God sees the whole picture, that's what we have to trust. And so that truth that we store up is not mm-hmm. relative, it's absolute.
Absolutely.
Our next point here is that we have to search out God's words if we're going to engage his wisdom in our lives. So verses 3 and 4 in this passage, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge in God. So it uses these words of desperation, right? Crying aloud, right? Searching for it as hidden treasure. You know, people who are on a treasure hunt typically aren't super nonchalant about it, right? Mm. Like, you think the gold rush in the to California and stuff, like those people, it was as fast as they could get there to try to get their hands on that gold, right? It was a rush for a reason. You know, it wasn't a gold meandering across. It's like everybody was like all out, I'm going to get there first. And that's how we need to be with God's wisdom. We have to be desperate for it. We need to be on our knees crying aloud saying, God, the only good thing in my life is what you have given me. The only good thing for my future is what you have to show me, and your purpose and your truths in my life are all that's going to sustain me. That's how desperate we have to be for the word of God. That's how desperate. And you know what, guys? Anybody who's in a relationship with Jesus, we've established that you're a disciple now, right? But radical disciples, people who are completely sold out, understand that concept, that desperation that comes up in them. There's this video that many of you have probably seen. I didn't have a chance to get it for this morning, but it shows this group of what I assume are Chinese Christians in this room. And there's this box on the floor. And they're all standing, it's really crowded, and they're all standing around, like, just intently staring at this box. And this box opens up, and it's full of Bibles. And those people go crazy, scrambling over each other, grabbing those Bibles, trying to get their own. And then they're just holding those Bibles, weeping. Mm-hmm. Weeping with joy, because finally, they have the word for themselves. That's desperation. That's how we should be. I have 10 Bibles in my home, probably. Plus, I have access on my phone and my iPad. I have no excuses, right? None of us do in our society. But yet, like, how often are we truly and completely desperate for what God has to tell us? Yeah. Because you know what? One of the difficulties with that is if we ignore what he has to say, right, that makes us lukewarm. That puts us in these cycles that we get stuck in. It's almost like a hurdle, right? So if there's a hurdle over here and a hurdle over there, right? God gives us wisdom in this time so we can get over the next hurdle. And then he speaks to us for the next thing to get us over that, right? He doesn't give us what we need for hurdles 10 hurdles down the road, right? That wouldn't make sense to us and it wouldn't apply to us. So often we might think that we aren't hearing from God because he's just repeating himself. And he's been repeating himself in our lives for so long that we just drown it out. And we think like, okay, God, what do you want from me? That again? Really? Well, there's got to be something else. Come on. Like, but really all we're doing is we're getting stuck in this plane, in this place, because God gives us what we need for the moment. Because that's all he needs from us. Right? The scripture says, don't worry about tomorrow, right? God's got it handled. So he gives us what we need for right here, right now, in this moment, not for 10 years down the road or whatever. And the only way that we're going to get anywhere, right, is if we truly open ourselves up and say, okay, God, I hear you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to seek that out. And how we know God is speaking to us is recurring themes in our lives so often, right? So I want to ask this question too, like if you can't tell when you aren't in that cycle, maybe you haven't ever listened yet. Maybe you haven't been there yet. If you can't tell when you're out of sync with God, maybe you've never been in sync with God in his words. Because when you're out, you should feel that. You should feel a lack of a connection with the Spirit of God in your life, right? You should know that. That should be something, a groaning in your spirit to say, like, something is not right in me, and I need to instantly get back. And that's where that desperation should come from as well.
Yeah, there's something in the seeking, the searching out of God's wisdom. Last week we talked about in Corinthians, and it says, like, that wisdom has been hidden, right? God hides that wisdom, and we get access to it by his Spirit. But I think that there are times where God is excited to watch us search. Right? And this can get really frustrating for us as Christians, right? It can be like, can you just tell me? Like, have you ever been there with God? Like, I'm sick of the searching. Like, I want to know now. And we're instant gratification people. And so we don't like expanses of time between a question and an answer. Like, I want to know now. I want direction now. I need to know what to do in this moment. And there was a season in my life where I was just stuck in that for probably like 8 months. And it was a very vivid time in my walk with God where I was asking questions and I was like why aren't you two telling me other things, but not those things, right? The things that I wanted to hear. And I came across a verse in Proverbs, again, Proverbs 25. It says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. And when I read that verse, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you want me to search. You want me as your follower, right? If God is God and I'm right under, right? I'm under him. And if that's true, he wants me to search him. He wants me to get to know him. He wants me to let the searching process bring me to a level of surrender as well. There's something that happens in the searching. There's something that happens in the times of having to seek and to cry aloud for understanding. And that verse says, turn your ear to wisdom. Like, I got to silence these voices and I got to learn, right? I got to turn my ear to what God says. And let me tell you something. Too many times we try and avoid the searching times. We try to avoid that, right? We like don't want to have to search. And then we get mad at God if he's not, you know, delivering us or giving things to us that we think we need right now. And what happens in that time is what Cody said, we begin to sort of like, I'm sick of searching it out, so I'm just going to stop. Or we get a bad attitude with God. And I think when we get a bad attitude, we lose our wonder, right? There's something about, so just the other day, where it was, I don't know if I was sitting with you or something, but we were talking about the Olympics. And with someone, I'm like, I wonder if this person, whatever. And then I'm like, I'm just going to Google it. And Google, find my answer. And someone said, there's no wonder anymore. There's no like, well, that could just be whatever, right? It's like, I can get an answer right here, right now. And in this world, you know, sometimes we lose our wonder of searching, right? We just want to know right now. Let me just Google it and figure it out, right? Let me just go with my own wisdom and my own, you know, understanding of things. And so if maybe you've lost your wonder, if you just feel like you hear things that God has done, you're just kind of like, whatever, like, not really excited about it. I wonder if you have forgotten the honor, the glory of kings to search out the Spirit. It is an honor, guys, and we should treat it as such. We should not be entitled before God to say, you know, you should tell me. You should tell me, right? But like, Lord, if I want you to reveal what you want to say to me. And as long as I'm yours, I'm going to search. I'm going to search like my heart depends on it, because it is an honor. It is an honor to sit before you. It's the glory, my glory, to be at your feet and to try and figure out what you're saying and what your ways are and how I need to be shaped and changed and transformed. So I wonder this morning, how do you seek? Do you have a half-hearted seeking? Do you give up easily, right? I want it now. And if in 5 minutes, you know, I don't have it, I'm like, I'm out. Forget it. I'm on to the next, right? Or maybe you've lost your wonder. Maybe you're just like, I just have a bad attitude running around in my walk with God, and I need to get back down on my knees and search and regain some of that wonder of what God could be doing and what he might want to say to me. The third way that this verse points out that we can engage God's wisdom so that we can have that victory in our life is to apply God's words, right? And that seems like go home, done, so easy, so simple. But let me just say, you know, it says apply your heart to understanding in verse 2. Apply your heart to understanding. When you do that, when God speaks something to you, or maybe, and I'm using the bitterness thing because I just should have raised my hand that week, okay? So, you know, if I say, like, Lord, I hear you. I need to put these things down. I need to pick these things up. You know, on Sunday, it's been incredible what God has been speaking to us as a congregation. The way that I show God that I heard what he said is by what I do when I walk out the door.
Yeah.
Right? If I don't apply myself, right, to what God has said, what is the point? Right? What is the point? Application is everything. It's absolutely everything. Without application of what God has said into our lives, growth doesn't happen. Without application into our lives, our faith remains shallow. And a shallow faith is an at-risk faith. Okay? A faith that hasn't applied is at risk. And what I mean by that is that the Bible says the enemy has come to steal and kill and destroy. And when you have a shallow faith, when you don't apply what God has said, it makes you that much more vulnerable.
Yeah.
right? To the enemy's schemes and tactics to steal and kill and destroy your life. Yeah. So application of God's words, applying our heart to understanding. Lord, I need to understand what you have said to me and how to live that out in my life, right? And we're talking about, you know, maybe Sundays you hear that, but absolutely you can hear from the Lord Monday through Saturday as well. He's speaking, he's active and should be in our lives. And the way that what we do with that is what matters the most if we're going to take hold of this victory this verse is talking right. about.
Yeah. And our job in this process of application, right, is just to water those seeds that God's plants in us, right, and to take care of what he wants to grow in us, right? We've talked, I think when we were talking about bitterness, we talked about, you know, if you're rooted in lies and bitterness, God wants to uproot that, and he wants to replace that with roots of redemption and truth and wisdom and love and all of his attributes, right? That's what he wants to do. But if you don't water that, and if you don't apply what God teaches you so that that can grow, it's always just going to be this little plant that's going to be easily crushed, easily scorched by the sun, easily trampled, right? So we have to do our best to water those things, and that is applying what he's telling us, because when we're stuck between the hurdles that are too high for us to get over, right? When we're stuck in that place and we're hearing the same thing from God, it's because we're not applying it that we aren't getting any better, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as we apply it, we grow. Each step, the hurdles when we first started our walk, we could look back now and they're minuscule, you know, they're just a joke, you know, thinking now like, well, that was a piece of cake, I can step right over that, right? But like as we go on and as we progress, like new hurdles pop up that God is pushing us to overcome. But it's not like this big, difficult thing to try to get over these hurdles and you're not trying to climb over a wall. Essentially, all you're doing is you're applying the truth that God is giving you in that moment. Maybe it's bitterness and maybe he's telling you, okay, your next hurdle is that you are bitter towards people. You're bitter towards me. You're bitter towards yourself and you're not forgiving. If you've heard that over and over and over and over and over again, then that's your hurdle, and you're never going to get anywhere until you understand that, right? But once you realize, okay, God, I get it. I get it. Tear down the walls of bitterness in me. Please forgive me, and I forgive anybody else. I'm not going to hold anybody else to these ridiculous standards anymore. I'm going to let that go so it doesn't affect me so deeply anymore. That hurdle shrinks. Right? Because we have grown. Right? So it's just a piece of cake, you step over it, and hopefully you don't have to go back there again. Once you learn that lesson, like we talked about, once you learn that, then bitterness and unforgiveness in your life should kind of be handled. You shouldn't step back and then shrink again, right? That's not what he wants. He wants to progress you further and further and further. So the more you apply, the more you store up, and the more you own the things that God is teaching you, the bigger you're going to become and the greater your faith will be, to where eventually that little root that God planted in you is going to be a mighty oak,
yeah.
Right? That will not be toppled by anything on the face of this earth. And if anything, that oak will be able to grow above all of the other distractions, because it'll be so tall that you can look out and then gain God's perspective and his wisdom on things. That's the goal that we're going for with this stuff.
Yeah, I want to say too, application is not this sort of dig down deep and just do what God says, right? It is doing what God says, but he enables us, empowers us, equips us by his Spirit. It's an incredible thing. Right? He says, not only am I going to tell you the best way and what this needs to look like in your life, but I'm going to help you conquer it. I'm going to help and be with you along the way and transform you in the process. I mean, what a loving God, right? That is never leaves us alone. He doesn't say, well, see ya, and on the other side of the hurdle, I'll be waiting for you. Figure it out. He's with us the whole way.
Right.
Absolutely. Sometimes even just carrying us, right, over the top.
Yeah.
And so, do you do what God says? I mean, that's just a simple question. Has God said something to you and maybe you're like, I'm not doing that. Like, just no, I'm not going to do that. Do you do what he says? And then if you think like, yeah, I'm a pretty good person, that's a different answer to a different question. That's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking about how moral does your life look. I'm asking, has God spoken something to you? Has he whispered something or said something profound to you? And from there, what do you do with that? Have you done anything with that? As I'm talking, I'm just reminded of a time before Red Rock. We had moved from one church to be on staff at another church, and the church before was like my home, right? It was where I became crybaby. Like, for some of you, I consider Village Church my home, right? And someone said when I walked in, I just felt like I was at home. So the place that I was saved and met my husband and, you know, married in that church, and that was our community, and I had to leave that to go to a church that I didn't want to be at, honestly. Like, I remember walking in, it had like flower fabric on the pews, and like, I mean, so shallow, right? But I'm like, I hate this. Like, literally, this is not what I want to do. And I was struggling with a call that God had on my life. And I went down to the altar, because we had an altar there during worship one time. I was just kneeling before God, just saying, like, I need help. Like, I don't feel at home here. And God just very quickly, so profoundly, quietly, and gently said, where I am is your home. Not a building. Not a gathering of people. Where I am is your home. And that, right, like that kind of profound, like I needed to hear that. And it was also a revelation to me of like, I got to start living like that. I can't be running around here pouting about flower, carpet or whatever. Like I got to really give myself over to that truth. I got to apply my life. So the things that I think and the attitude at which I approach the call that you have on my life has got to change. Right? What we do with what God says, not even just, you know, the Ten Commandments, like I don't steal and I don't kill, you know, but like even the things like that, right? That God just whispers to us when we're in a struggle and when we're like, this is hard. And he says, well, do this then, do this instead. Or this is what it should look like. The way that we apply ourselves, we have control, right? It says, take captive every thought. I have control. We're not just thrown by, you know, oh, I have no control over myself. The Spirit gives us self-control to be able to conquer these things, to really do what he says. So we're just going to give you a time of response, and I'm just going to have you bow your heads, and I'm going to pray really quick over us for a spirit of self-awareness to come up, because when we read a verse like this, you know, we really need, there's a verse that David says to God. He says, search my heart, just shine, and I read that in Ashley terms, they shine a big flashlight on all the crevices, right, and all the dark spaces. So I'm just going to have you bow your head, and I'm just going to ask God to do that for us this morning. Lord, we need you to take your big flashlight, Lord, and just expose maybe the dark places that we're not even aware of. God, we need you to come in, Lord, and to show us, Father, where we're not storing up, where we're not accepting, because God, we don't want to be those people. We want to be people that have a vault of your promises and wisdom at hand at all times. God, we want to be people that search far and wide for you and what you have for us, that don't just grow weary after a few minutes of not getting what we want. Lord, we want to be people that apply what you've done, what you've said, what you've given us victory over already, Lord. We want to apply those things. So now would your Spirit, just in the next few seconds, just whisper, Father, just that self-awareness over each one of us of where we need to invite you in to our hearts. The back end of our service is always a time just for you to respond to God, and we like to give you moments with God, and so we like to ask questions and give you the opportunity to respond to him. And so I'm just going to ask a few questions, and if you feel like that is for you, you could raise your hand and make a vow to the Lord. I'm just going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Are you someone that this morning that has recognized that you have not accepted God's truth as if it was the only truth? And maybe you're someone that has not been storing up, right? You take in what God has for you, but then you quickly forget it, and you want to say, no, I know that God has enabled me to accept his truth as the only truth and store up his promises in my life so that I can access it later, and you want to begin that walk with him. Would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone here that has lost their wonder for what God does and how he acts, and you sort of lost the excitement and the honor that it is to search out God and to experience him, and you want to regain that this morning and commit yourself to that? Would you raise your hands to search out? Thank you. Is there anyone in here today that says, you know, God has told me a lot of things and I'm at the point where I just got to do them. It's time to apply what he has told me. And you want to kind of commit yourself to that this morning. I'm going to apply God's words and promises and what he's spoken to me to my life. Would you raise your hand? Awesome. That's so great. And is there anyone in here that does not yet have a relationship with Jesus, and for the first time, you want to give yourself to Jesus, say, I need to hear from you, Lord, and I give my life over. I need a Savior. I'm lost, and I need you. Would you raise your hand this morning? I'm going to pray for us as we go into worship. God, thank you so much for your word. Lord, how relevant your word is to us, God, that we can read some words on a page from thousands of years ago, God, and it just applies. It's like I look in the mirror when I'm reading this. God, thank you, Lord, that you are alive and active. God, that you are a God that speaks to us, that is in communication and conversation with us on a daily basis, Father. We praise you for that. We praise you. God, I pray for those this morning that have raised their hand, Father, for either one of these three questions or four questions. God, I pray that you would just come in now as we worship you and just remind us, God, that you are here to help us. Father, that if it feels like a daunting task to begin searching out or to begin storing up or to begin applying, Lord, I pray that your spirit would come in and just remind us, Lord, that you help us, you guide us, you navigate us through that. Lord, I pray these seeds planted today, God, would not return void. Father, where people have raised their hands and said, I'm done with that lifestyle. Lord, I forgot what an honor it is to search out what you have for me. Lord, I pray that you would just convict us, God, the Monday through Saturday, where that push comes to shove, where rubber meets the road in our faith. God, that you would just remind us, nudge us. Nope, that's not the way. That's not what I've spoken to you. Lord, we're so grateful. We're so incredibly grateful for the victory that comes from relationship with you. Lord, I thank you, and I pray that we begin to see the things that this verse is listing out in our own lives and in our church unleashed, God. People that have discernment, like just incredible discernment and direction, Father. Joy. I pray an unleashing of joy in our church. I pray against depressive spirits and anxiety and lack of sleep, God. I pray, Father, that you would just usher in a spirit of joy into this place. God, I pray protection from sin. God, I pray if there's anyone in here this morning just struggling in the struggle of sin and darkness and can't see which way is up, Father, that you would just break the chains of Satan in Jesus' name. God, that you would bring breakthrough and victory in a miraculous way, that it would be like crazy easy just to put down the things that we should never have picked up. Thank you, Lord, that you do that. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, prosperity and success, not that we could just be rich people, Father, that we could be an example, a beacon of hope and light to the world around us. Lord, we're so amazed and grateful at what it means to be in relationship with you. Renew our wonder this morning for that, Lord. If we've been walking with you for a long time, sometimes we just forget what it's like to not have you. And so, Lord, just renew our wonder today. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.